Welcome to some more great Bible preaching from the pulpit of Capital City Baptist Church in the heart of Austin, Texas. Our prayer is that your relationship with Christ is strengthened and that you are blessed by the time you spend in the Word of God with us today.
Luke 12, look what it says in verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us? Or even to all, and the Lord said, Who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Thank God for faithful servants, servants that were prepared and did exactly what their master wanted them to do. And if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat, to drink, to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now that's where we find ourselves often, thinking, I've got another day to prepare. I'm fine. I've invested in preparation enough for the moment. Life is about proper preparation. And this servant said, I have time. The master's away. He's not coming back tomorrow. He's caught off guard. Now look what it says in verse 47. That servant which knew his Lord's will, he prepared not himself. What was the problem? Where was the failure? He prepared not himself. For some reason in Christianity, we've minimized the importance of preparation. Preparation takes a lot of work. And we know this. We know the world will prepare our children for a secular profession, but we know it falls on our shoulders as parents, as fathers, as guardians, the spiritual preparation. So in order for them to be successful in their marriage, this world won't prepare them. There's no college, there's no degree, there's no high school, there's no class that they can take that'll truly prepare them, because God is love. And if a person doesn't know God, they don't know love. They're incapable of loving as they ought to love. And so from the very beginning, listen, if they don't have Bible principles, if they don't walk into a marriage knowing this is for life, you know how many problems that alone creates for a young married couple? Number one, they don't want to make a lifetime commitment because they're saying, I may get locked into something I don't like. As society has said, we might as well live together and see if this works, and if it doesn't work, I can go a different direction. Or they get married and they say, I do, and they say the words, even in this day and age, they've kept in the wedding vows, that phrase, till death do us part. But they don't mean it when they say it. Till the first rough moment or disagreement or the first spat or the first prolonged frustration occurs in our marriage, then we're going to separate. But if young people don't enter into marriage knowing the Bible principle, which is one man, one woman for the rest of their lives, here's what's going to happen. They're not even going to go into marriage with the philosophy, we've got to work through this, we've got to fix this, we've got to make this happen, we need counsel, we need Bible principle, because this is for the rest of our lives. And if they don't go in with that philosophy, every problem, every disagreement will be, well, you know what, I'm just going to leave you. And here's the nice thing. When you get married and it's for life, you know each other's faults, but you say, we've got an entire lifetime to fix this. I don't have to fix this in a day or a month, because honestly, the majority of our flaws and the majority of the problems in our character, those are not fixable overnight. They're not fixable in a month. It takes a lot of work and a lot of prayer and a lot of sacrifice and a lot of instruction and feedback and counsel and rebuke by the Holy Spirit for us to actually overcome a defect in our character. I mean, think about how unlovely you were at 20 or 22, or, you know, normally you've reached the peak of your selfishness at that point. You've reached the peak of your pride. You've reached the peak of your knowledge. And you marry someone that's at their peak of their knowledge and pride. And and you put those two people together, listen, it's a wonder and a miracle that any marriage lasts. And then you slowly, if you have the right philosophy, you say, we're in this together for life, so let's start working now. But here's what happened. Because we haven't properly prepared. Oh, they prepared for their wedding, and they prepared the decorations, and they prepared the cake, and they prepared a million other things, even a honeymoon, an apartment, and it's furnished, and they're already $2,000 in debt, and they got their furniture and their bedroom set. But they're not prepared for marriage because we as Christians haven't understood the importance. Preparation is training. Training is instruction. Instruction is difficult. And we simply don't invest enough time in proper training, which requires hours and countless hours of patient instruction. We've been preparing for the missions conference, and this year our theme is front lines. I'm looking at those pictures and I'm thinking about the training that those men go through. It doesn't matter what branch they enter, there's a boot camp that's their initial training, and really whether it's a 4-year or a 6-year or 8 years that they enlist for, ultimately that entire time can be described in one word, preparation. They are preparing for battle. Some of them will never ever get on the front lines. Some will never ever see themselves in a position where they're what we would say in a time of war, but they're being prepared, constantly being prepared. And I think this world has set an example that we should follow in the area of focus, proper focus and dedication and commitment to preparation. God is a firm preacher, an adamant believer in preparation. How many of you have read this book? You see it in every page. Now let's do this. We'll just read one example, but while we're reading that example, turn to Jonah chapter 4. I'll give you a few Bible examples without looking them up in Scripture. Turn to Jonah 4. How many of you remember in 1 Chronicles 22 when David began preparation for the building of the temple, although God had told him that he could not build it, he began to raise the money, gather the needed supplies in preparation so that Solomon, his son, could build the temple. Do you remember that? How many times in Scripture do we see the word preparation in Matthew chapter 3? God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many remember John 14 where Christ told the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen. How many of you remember that God in the beginning, after Satan's fall, prepared a place for the devil and his angels? Right. Take a look at all of God's servants. Can you imagine Moses leading 1.5 to 2 million Jews? God took 80 years. Now you think 13 years is a long time. And Boaz is saying, I don't know if I can handle another 7 years of this, but he can't, because all of us have. Moses went through God's school for 80 years. Took him through the wilderness where he was going to have to lead those Israelites. Raised him in the palace. Connected him with Pharaoh because he knew sometime he was going to have to go back and reconnect. But God, in every case, even with the Lord Jesus Christ, those disciples, those 12 men, Lord Jesus Christ took 3.5 years to do training, give them instruction, and prepare them to reach the world. Now look what it says in Jonah chapter 4. You remember the story of Jonah? God wanted the gospel preached in Nineveh. He sent Jonah. Jonah wasn't a willing preacher, and God made him willing while he was in the belly of a whale. He goes back to preach. Jonah was still displeased about his obligation, unconcerned about the souls of this city. So he preaches, he's angry with God, angry that the town and the people in the town might actually repent. So look what God does in verse 6. The Lord God, what's it saying? Prepared a gourd. God had already set everything up. He'd already predetermined. He had things planned. He was ready to go. It made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head. to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. God said, I'm going to put a gourd there to give him a little bit of shade, and then I'm going to send a worm to eat the gourd. God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared once again, three times, vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. All of this was God's plan to work in the life of Jonah. God says, Proverbs 22:5, train up a child in the way he should go. What was God commanding us to do? Prepare our children for adulthood. How many children grow up in church, go through a Christian school, go through all the ministries of a local church, and still enter life unprepared? Because as parents, we're often caught off guard. The real problem is this. We have kids, and that's the first time we've ever raised kids. We don't have any experience to rely on. When we have children, we have a serious problem because we have no experience at rearing those children. But here's what preparation is. In life, everything that happens today is preparing us for tomorrow. And the way that we respond, the way that we react, the things that we choose to allow into our lives and allow to prepare us determine what happens tomorrow, our quality of life. And more than anything tonight, I want you to understand the necessity of preparation, because if this world is so fervent and we see them successful in their fields because of their fervency and their preparation, why is it in Christianity that we don't respond with the same fervency and say, there's no way this young man has a chance at being a good Christian, a godly Christian, a successful Christian, unless he's prepared for the temptations of life, unless he's prepared for a marriage, unless he's prepared to do God's work, unless he's prepared for ministry. And we know this. We know because many of you didn't grow up in a Christian home. Many of you did not have parents put emphasis on preparation. So the opportunities that were afforded you, the opportunities that you had growing up, many of them were wasted. How many times did you sit in the classroom and absolutely ignore the information that was being given? Can you imagine if we gave you a test today on what you were taught over the past 30 years of your life? How much knowledge did we ignore, forget, refuse? And all of that could have better prepared us. And I look at Chris, and I look at Ashley and Brittany, and I think about their future, and here's what we have to think about. Where are they going to be when they're 30 and 40 and 50? We're determining that now. We're determining now their direction. We're determining now their spiritual desire. We're determining now their ability. We can still adjust their taste and their direction by adjusting the factors that influence them. Did you know their friendships are going to prepare them for the rest of their life in a positive way or a negative way? You know, there were people in your life when you were a teenager that introduced things to you that should have never been introduced to you, and you're still paying the consequence of those things. They prepared you to go a wrong direction. They prepared you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically, to go a wrong direction for the next 30 or 40 years. And as parents, you learn from those things and say, I want to prepare my child to be a better Christian than what I am. I want to prepare my child to be a preacher. I want to prepare my child in Bible. And here's what we think. Oh, you know, just one day they wake up, and this is a philosophy that we had when we went to Bible college. And I saw many students surrender the field, and some of them didn't even make it through deputation, and others quit. Now, we had a good group, and I honestly believe it. Oklahoma Baptist College was probably, during the 80s and 90s, the top missionary-producing college in the nation. And I thank God for all they did and for what they produced. But there was a problem, because there was a philosophy, a general philosophy among independent Baptists that said, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what's happening in your life, you know, you hear a missionary, you see a slideshow, just raise your hand and God will use you. Well, there's only one problem to that. There must first be proper preparation. Just because you get on a plane, just because you cross an ocean, just because you have a Bible in your hand, doesn't mean you're going to be able to plant a church. Planting a church is hard work and take persistence. And people think, well, I'm going to get over to the field and I'm going to buy a building and we're going to put an ad in the newspaper. And bless God, when they see my name and my picture on the front of that flyer, people are just going to be banging down that door wanting to come to my church. And suddenly, you got to know how to not just run a youth group, but how to start one from scratch. How do you run a youth program when you're trying to come up with two or three teenagers? How do you do a vacation Bible school without a contact? You get to plan the puppets and the music and be the song leader and preach the lesson and reach people on every level. You've got to preach a message of EBS that reaches kids from age 5 to 15. And here's what we think. We think people can actually accomplish this and do a good job without proper preparation. And in life, I want our young people to be used, but I don't want to just throw them out of here when they're 20 years old and say, bless God, you know, you got a call of God in your life. Go do it. Figure it out. The world doesn't do that. They teach and they train and they instruct. They invest years in their lives. How foolish are we as Christians to take kids and at 20 years old say, hey, go make it. Go provide for your family and start a ministry and be used of God and bless this world. There's a lot of preparation that has to take place. And I know we have a Christian school, and I thank God for the ministries. But listen, it all starts when we individually do our ministries, live, whether it be as parents, whatever our area of authority is, we say, I'm going to be the most prepared person in my ministry, in my home, on my job. How much more could we accomplish if every single person, every single time, walked into their ministry totally prepared, thoroughly prepared? Now, here's what happens. Many of you remember the first time you ever gave a lesson, the first time you ever taught a class, the first time you ever went soul winning, the first time you did anything, you prepared the best you knew how, but you walked in totally unprepared. Yeah. I remember the first time I preached. I didn't know how to prepare a message, and I got a little bit of help, and I got my outline together, and I thought, my goodness, I'm going to end up preaching 45 minutes to an hour. I hope the congregation can handle that. About 2 minutes and 38 seconds later, I said, you know what, let's just read John 1 and 2 over again. Maybe we should throw in chapter 3. The whole Nicodemus story will do you good. Now, I didn't know how to prepare. How in the world can we expect to properly train our youth in the Word of God, the principles of the Word of God, the things of the Word of God, if we're scrambling on Saturday night to come up with a lesson, hoping we can put something together, coming up with a plan 20 minutes before class? That's not the type of thing that God uses or blesses. As a local church, we're a team. We're in this together. And in order to be successful, a parent, listen, whether it's devotions or whether it's the rearing of their children or whether it's clubs or Sunday school or your class, whatever we do, we want to do it for the honor and glory of God. In order for that to happen, we have to make sure that we're as prepared. And here's why I believe that conferences are good. And this is why I believe in teacher training. This is why I believe we ought to constantly be reading self-help books. Oh, no, Pastor, you don't read those, do you? Yes. Yes, the Bible's my primary source of information. Yes, I believe most of our reading ought to be the Word of God. But I also believe if I'm going to be a better husband and a better leader and a better pastor, all those things require that I constantly be growing. How in the world can I be prepared today to face the challenges of rearing teenagers and pastoring this church and reaching the world and helping our missionaries if I'm not in a constant state of preparation? Amen. How in the world can we be prepared for life if we can't even teach our kids to be prepared for camp? You know what kids do? Honestly, there's no concentration. There's no importance placed on preparation. So they throw their bag in the car. You pack, oh yeah, I'm ready to go. Come back a week. And then they get there like, oh man, I don't have a sleeping bag. I forgot my bag. You got an extra bag on you? Oh man, I only brought two pair of pants. I'm gonna have to wait till dark to go swimming. Kids aren't prepared. And if we're not teaching them, you say, how silly is that? If we can't even teach them to be prepared for a class and to be prepared, how many times do kids call up parents and, hey, I forgot my book. Hey, I forgot my pens. Hey, Pastor Bob is going to be upset. I'm going to get demerits. And the parent comes racing back down I-35 40 minutes later with the book that they forgot because they do not value preparation, not even on a minor scale, a minor level. And if we're not teaching these kids, you need to be prepared for service. Listen, the Bible even talks about the preparation of the heart. We put so little emphasis on preparation, we'll actually go through all the effort of getting cleaned up, showered, and listen, you're running home last minute, and you've got a million things on your mind, and you're trying to make sure your shirt's ironed, and you got your suit coat on, and you race back to the church, and you get in just in time for the first song, and you sit down, but you forgot the most important part was the preparation of the heart, so you sit through the service and leave once again, not even hearing from the Holy Spirit. Your mind was totally occupied on something, had nothing to do with God. You left more frustrated than when you came in because your mind was concerned about your family problems, your financial problems, your problems at work. You know how to avoid so many of life's frustrations? Preparation. You know how to enjoy old age? Start preparing at 20. You have to prepare your mind. But we have not prepared our youth for the next step. So then when they're 18 or 19 and they step out of high school and they have this piece of paper, they have to have a program to fix this stuff. There is no program to fix stupidity. Amen. That is parental responsibility, and that only happens through a thorough process of preparation that starts when they're 3 and 4 and 5. That's why no step should be skipped, and that's why it's important from the beginning to be instilling in them character and a work ethic and honesty and transparency and relationships and personal relationships, and all those things are important. I'm still getting on my kids. There are times when they don't interact the way they should. You say, well, that's in their DNA. That's in their personality. It's in your personality to be very unsuccessful in life. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to help you overcome your personality. You're not going to get ahead in life by refusing to shake someone's hand or greet them or ignoring them for the first 2 hours of your morning because you don't feel happy. Oh, that's really going to help you in life. You walk into your place of business, your place of work, and you ignore everyone for 2 hours? You're going straight to the top, baby. That's management skills. How in the world are they going to be successful if we're not teaching them, preparing them for the realities of life? The realities of life are you're not going to live very good off $12 an hour. Well, I know how to trim a yard. Try feeding a family on that. For some reason in life, we skip all these steps, we bypass the process, we're totally unconcerned, and suddenly when someone is 25 years old and facing a life of turmoil and problem because 10 or 15 years of steps were not taken. Investment was not made. The preparation that was offered was rejected. And instead of teaching that child, you take advantage of every opportunity given to you. Anybody that instructs you is your best friend. Because that's preparing you for life and to have a successful future. How many of you have ever done something and about halfway through you realize, boy, I was certainly underprepared for this moment? Have you ever been there? I've had a lot of those moments in life. And I thank God now it's part of my personality, and everyone has a different personality. And maybe your excuse is your personality. You say, well, it's just not my DNA. I'm not a 1-2-3 person. I don't function that way. Whether or not you function that way, you have to understand your kids will suffer from your lack of preparation, your lack of investment in their preparation or your personal preparation. When we went to the Philippines and China and Korea, we had a wonderful trip. And after that trip, on our way home, we're sitting there in amazement thinking about our 2 weeks overseas and our trip to Asia. But what made it so phenomenal was we had started 6 months beforehand. We purchased the tickets at a discounted price. We were on 12 different planes. Now, if there's not extreme preparation involved and you're on 12 different planes, you're going to have a miserable 2 weeks. We saw what we wanted to see. We were able to do some sightseeing, see people saved, visit the missionaries we wanted to visit. But here was Travis taking us in, getting us through the airports, helping us with our luggage, because each trip and each plane, each flight had a different requirement as far as the type of bags and how much weight. But here's what was nice. We got to thinking about that trip, and we said, can you imagine this would have been the biggest nightmare of our lives had there not been literally dozens of hours of prep work, setting up every detail of our schedule, our flights. But when the preparation is already done, it makes life so much easier. And how many times have we been surprised? How many times have we been frustrated? How many times have we been angered because we went into something unprepared? We got surprised. We were blindsided because there was an insufficient preparation. And we look out at that field, like it says in Proverbs, there's no harvest. How many of you have ever wanted a harvest and you went to the field? Not even one stalk of corn. You know what I want? All of us imagine our field. When we first purchase that field, in our minds we see corn that's 6 feet tall, golden at the top, rows so full you can barely walk through them, weed free, hundreds of acres. You imagine the harvest and you can walk through there and pull off an ear of corn and eat that sweet corn and say, wow, I'm a good farmer. But September rolls around. Half your corn is dead and the other half is about 2 feet tall. It's the most shriveled up looking field corn you've ever seen in your life. The reality was much different than the imagination. Where was the failure? What was the problem? Lack of proper preparation. And let's read two texts and we'll be done. Go with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke 12. Really, in order to establish a mindset that's proper and profitable, the step we have to take is we can't live in the past. Folks, the worst thing you can do is overanalyze the past. If you're parents and you have had a child go astray, stop trying to analyze the reason, the cause, the root. You'll go over that in your mind, and Satan will defeat you, and you will live frustrated with yourself and the world. And he'll get you distracted, downtrodden, disheartened, because you're still trying to figure out what happened. Where did I go wrong? The bottom line is he became an adult and made a choice. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? One father, two boys, same house, same school, same conditions, same environment, same friends. One went south, one went north. Two different hearts, two different choices. And here's what Satan will do. Satan will get you to focus on the past and never allow you to continue to prepare for tomorrow, which is more important because you don't have yesterday. You have today and tomorrow. And the only way that ends up good is if you're focused on preparing for what God has for you today and tomorrow. Luke 12, look what it says in verse 41. Then Peter said to him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. Thank God for faithful servants, servants that were prepared and did exactly what their master wanted them to do. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat, to drink, to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Now that's where we find ourselves often thinking, I've got another day to prepare. I'm fine. I've invested in preparation enough for the moment. So for now, listen, a day without instructing your children is a day you'll never have back. You can't afford as a parent. You have 18 years, if you're fortunate. You can't say, I'm so busy today that I didn't even have 5 minutes to invest in my children. Big mistake, because you're going to make that mistake tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and suddenly they're 18 years old and you're looking at that child and their deficiencies and saying, wow, I'm in trouble. They're in trouble. We're all in trouble. Life is about proper preparation. And this servant said, I have time. The master's away. He's not coming back tomorrow. He's caught off guard. Now look what it says in verse 47. That servant which knew his Lord's will, he prepared not himself. What was the problem? Where was the failure? He was a servant. He knew his master's will, but he prepared not himself. What's the result? Neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. The problem? Lack of preparation. In life, God has given us ministries, opportunities. If you've been born in the United States of America, if you are a member of Capital City Baptist Church, if you've been given the school, if you've been handed a ministry at Capital City, you have an incredible opportunity. You have children in this environment. You have everything in place. You have everything going for you. Something with that alone, with those factors, I'm guaranteed success. No, you're not guaranteed success. Today, what you invest in preparation guarantees success. And too often, here's what we do. Let someone else prepare themselves or prepare my child or prepare my ministry. You know how many times people have gone in their ministry and because there were six workers, they said, well, between those five, I'll be okay even if I didn't study or prepare as much as I should have. I've got to teach 5 days. You know, if I come in one day unprepared, it won't make that much of a difference. The only problem is you have 150 days and that philosophy carries over about 38 times. Those kids lost 20% of what they needed to learn. And you have 356 days out of the year, and about 65 or 70 of those days, you're way too tired to give any instruction on any level to your children. You do the math. So you're saying 18% of the year, you're going without instruction. 18% of their life, they're missing out on the fundamental, foundational principles that they need to succeed. And then you know what you see when they're 18? You notice that 18% that's been magnified, and now you're looking at them saying, what college can I put them in that'll correct that lack of training and instruction? All I want you to understand is we have to have a biblical philosophy, God's philosophy, which says preparation must be a priority. Because I want each one of these kids, when they walk out of these doors, to be prepared for temptation, to be prepared for criticism, to be prepared for marriage, to be prepared for the ministry, to be prepared for business, to be prepared to make money, to be prepared on every level. Well balanced, to be prepared to walk with God on their own, stand up against wrong. Amen. You know what we see in our kids? First temptation that comes their way, they fall. first time someone offers them rock and roll, pornography, any temptation, they're knee deep because they're unprepared. Totally unprepared to deal with that situation. And as parents, it's got to be our prayer, God, help me as a father. Help me as a mother. Help me with the time that you give me with this child. And then help me to be preparing myself as a father, as a leader, as a husband, so my kids have an opportunity. And look at your kids. And you pray over those children. You say, God's given me a privilege. I don't want to mess this up.
We certainly hope that you've enjoyed this message today, but more importantly, we hope that the Lord has challenged you in some way to grow in your Christian life. For more information about our church, including directions and times of services, please visit our website at www.capitalcitybaptist.org.